Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today I bring you a lady who's achieved a lot in her life, and she is Chandni Ann Khanna. Chandni, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Chandni is from St. Stephen's College. She's worked in the corporate sector, and she's an author and writer with over 7,000 articles. My God, I mean, I write. I can't imagine what 7,000 articles must be like. So Chandni, tell us a little bit about your early career, some of your learnings and some of your challenges.
Well, I started very young. I was 20 when I started working, and that was quite unexpected actually, because I lost my mother at the in the third year of college. So I decided to pitch into the house by working immediately. Mm-hmm. My first job was with the Lalit, which is now the Lalit. It was Hotel Intercontinental then. It was a good learning experience, because you know that's when I actually went out into the world. I realized you know how it was to work with people and manage the nuances of a high office, and that's when I met my husband. In fact, it was my first job, and he was already working there. So yeah, that was interesting. After going from St. Stephen's to a job, and it was new. I didn't plan. Didn't plan that at all. I wanted to study more, but I guess as life would have it.
I agree. So what has been the event that made you, you know, in your own words, want to give up?
That would be the death of my husband.
Oh God, I'm sorry to hear that.
That was in March 2017. We were just talking. We were sitting and talking in the morning, and suddenly he couldn't breathe. And within a few seconds, we didn't even get time to say goodbye, because we didn't know what was happening.
Oh God.
And by the time we rushed him to the hospital, he was already gone. It was a cardiac arrest. So yeah, I mean, 21 years just vanished like that. My daughter lost her father in, 17 years. So it was in the middle of her board exams, 12th standard board exams. So, you know, I really didn't know, honestly, when that happened. I didn't know whether I'm going to wake up the next morning, let alone be able to take a step, to do anything. But that was the one incident that I felt that I was.
And yet,
that was it.
And yet, as someone said to me, that it's very, very difficult to be able to handle sorrow.
Yeah.
And yet, someone has given us the ability to forget sorrow and continue to lead our life. Right. So you've obviously been able to cope with it well. But why and how did you hold on to what you were doing?
One reason only. It's the face of my daughter. Okay. I couldn't bear the fact that she would have to face any more sadness. I decided that she needed a life of respect. She needed everything that was good in life, whatever I can manage after this. Because she was very, very young. And, you know, she did her best. She studied really hard, despite losing him bang in the middle of her board exams, as I told you. She still managed to top school.
Wow.
She got a 97% that also in psychology, which is not an easy subject. So yeah, I mean, you know, she was and continues to be my motivating factor.
So I'm not sure if you know, but there's been a lot of work done or research done on trauma that a human being goes through. And the top trauma in the world is loss of a spouse.
Yes.
So I think you managed to cope with that well.
Yeah, I had to read up about that. I read up about women who had lost, and you know they've written about some stuff, and you know that's how I realized that. Of course, again, I had to put all that aside, because it was my daughter primarily, because she really doesn't have anybody else. So I had to keep that aside, and there are lots of people who say that you know you don't need so much time to grieve, but yeah, there is a time when you want to let.
And the pain will always be there.
It's there.
But yet you have to move on.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it's her face that I keep in the front of me, despite the, you know, the everyday going and coming and the downs and whatever it is. But, you know, I believe everybody should have that one, at least one focus, one motivation that will keep you going. Because, you know, this is not going to. I mean, you can't stop something like this.
I agree with you. So, you know, let's move on. You know, you are an author and a writer. Before I get into any more discussion, what made you become an author?
Again, those were life experiences. Okay. I realized that, you know, most women, what the mistake that they make is not making time for themselves. You'll have time for X, Y, Z. And then you realize that, you know, in the bargain, where are you? And so I just started penning down those thoughts and realizing that, you know, the world's not going to make that time for you. And I just started putting it down. And it just blossomed into something that was, you know, readable and pleasant and something that people would relate to. It was very, it's very simple. It's not exactly a book. I would call it a booklet. But yeah, it's simple, and I just put down everything that I felt about, you know, why it's so important to make time for oneself, irrespective of how successful you are and how busy you may be or whatever you've gone through. It's important that me time is important, which is why I called it Some Me Time.
The book is called Me Time?
Yes.
Okay.
Some Me Time.
And where is it available?
It's available. I actually, the initial thing was that I self-published it on Kindle because, you know, it was a little way out of my budget to go into the financing and publishing the book as such. So, yeah, I self-published it. It was on Kindle. And there was this, these publishers called Partridge Publishers in Singapore. She was apparently going through those books and... then she got in touch with me saying that, you know, we really like your booklet. It's so simple. And yet it has, you know, it's giving a message that most people tend to forget. And it's giving it in a simple way.
Right.
So, you know, she wanted me to publish it. And I told her, not possible.
Not possible.
I don't have the finances for it. She tweaked it. She rebudgeted. She did all kinds of things, but it was still a little bit out of my league. And this was 2015, in fact. Then, for a whole year, she pursued. She kept telling me, you know, I can do this for you. Do this. Do this. And finally, in 2016, I told her, okay, fine. You know, I could manage something, and told her, let's go ahead with it. So she came up with the idea of making it into a diary, where we added some pictures and there's some blank pages. So if somebody were to use it and read it and then note down that, you know, how much time you're making for yourself in the day. So that's what it turned out to
be. But what I'm surprised about is that publishers are asking you to pay.
Yeah. In the sense that they want you to pay for, you know, the marketing of the book. And the she wanted to design the...
Oh, really?
Thing and stuff. So,
yeah. Because I've got six published books and I've never paid anything.
No, never. I mean, that's what publishing is, you know, the hard copy. Great if you...
So, tell me now, what makes one a good writer?
I think it has to do with passion for the written word, being able to express an idea in the words that the target audience will understand. And that's not something, I don't think you can teach that. You can't teach someone to, you know, bring out something from the heart. Because when I write, it's not coming from here. It's coming from here. And I think that's why I think I've been able to write the volume that I have and been able to do, I think, a good job. Because the corroboration of what I'm saying comes from the fact that I get most of my job from, you know, clients who pass on the word of mouth. So, I think that's what...
And is there a particular time that you write?
Or I'm a complete morning person. So, I wake up by 5 and I start, you know, aim to start writing by 6 at least. So, yeah, I mean, most of my work, my mind's absolutely fresh at that time. And when I'm writing, I'm... That's all I'm doing. I'm completely zoned out. There are times that I forget to eat breakfast, much to the annoyance of my little one. But, you know, but then you realize, because it's a lot of, not exactly fun, but, you know, it's a lot of, it's very interesting for me to do that because the subjects that I write on are not one in particular. So they'll, if I'm writing one portion of the day, if I'm writing something on parenting, the next will be something as, you know, as technical as maybe AI or robotics. And then you're wondering, know, what went from that to that. Mm-hmm. So
you must be doing a lot of research first.
Yes, one has to do a lot of research because you can't write, one can't be an expert. Maybe I'm not even an expert on parenting, but when it comes to something like AI, for example, one has to, take a look at it. And until I understand the subject carefully and well, I don't begin writing. Mm. So I do take that time.
Okay. And are you ever faced with writer's block?
No, not in that sense. Because when I do feel like it's not coming out in the way that I want, I take a break, I stand back, or I write something that's a little less intense. Mm. And then I come back to it. So not really. Thankfully.
You're lucky. I mean, I know that, when I'm in the mode to write, then there are times when I wake up at 3 in the morning and I write, 2,000, 2,500 words, But then there are times when I just don't feel like writing.
Yeah, correct.
I'm completely switched off at that. So I'm glad you don't go through that.
So I balance both my worlds, because when I'm done with my work for the day, that's it. I don't touch my my laptop again. Mm-hmm. Because then, the mind needs to remain fresh.
Right.
So if I do have time on my hands, then I probably, go through LinkedIn, read some of the stuff there. Some lighter stuff that will help me, with understanding some more subjects and some vocabulary maybe. But nothing that's going to tax my head too much.
Okay, wonderful. So let's move to, the second avatar that you have, which is as a life coach.
Right.
What is life coaching?
Simply put, it's about, helping somebody or helping yourself also maybe, to overcome the things that you feel from your perspective are, really bigger than life, larger than life and bigger than you, and, really getting to you where some people will falter, some people will, get scared of it. Some may completely be lost in that whole thing. So that's where, a life coach comes into play.
Mm. And I'll come to the coaching part a little bit, but what made you become a life coach?
Again, life experiences. I realized that, there's so much that one has gone through in life, whether it's dealing with the death of my sister when I was 14, my mom, my dad, then, of course, my husband. So, it's not just death, but there are other things that one has faced. There's been massive financial challenges. And in fact, he had a heart attack in 2009. So that was, again, one... then my father had upper paralysis. So it's all those things that, put together, one sees and goes through life. And when every such instance makes you feel like, I'm done. I can't take any more of this in life. But then you realize that you're stronger and you're better. And so I decided that maybe, the resilience that I have had and what I've... in fact, what I learned from my daughter, she's probably stronger in a lot of areas than I am. So, I decided that maybe using that to help somebody overcome some blocks is a good way to utilize.
So, we've got thousands and thousands of people who listen to us, our podcast, watch our podcast every day. For their learning, who's the kind of person who needs a life coach? Because everyone is faced with some problem.
Everybody, that's what I'm saying. Any and everybody who feels that they cannot overcome would need somebody like a life coach. Because I think the subject of psychologists or psychiatrists is still quite taboo. Even a life coach, people are a little hesitant to admit. But everybody is facing their own battles. Mm. Let's admit that. That's the truth.
Correct.
You can't... some people are able to face it better, and some are, some take their time and some need help.
Mm.
So I guess any and everybody who feels that they need a little help, there's no harm in talking to somebody. It's like talking to a friend because the way I do it, I think speaking from my perspective as a life coach, I think being high on EI, which is emotional intelligence, is very important. Mm. And I think I score there a little bit. Because with everything that I've gone through, one needs to realize that just as I have my emotions and I have my ups and downs and my days, good days and bad days, everybody is having those, whether it's your clients or even the person who's working at your home. you know, they also have their bad days. So one needs to understand that.
So can you give me a few examples? You know, I don't want any names, but of some kind of situations that you've been faced with people you work with?
Yes, I would not be able to do that, unfortunately, because there's a confidentiality. So even without names, it's a little difficult. Okay. But from my own perspective, I can tell you that maybe if I had somebody to help me like this, it would have been great. But what I discovered when, for instance, when we were having financial problems and my husband had the heart attack, I did turn to a few people who I believed were friends, you know, because I had been there for them and I just expected that's going to happen because that's who I was. And well, some of them ignored, some of them laughed, some of them just completely vanished into thin air. And unfortunately, there were a couple who there were a couple of men who actually turned around and asked me for favors in return.
Okay.
So you know, those were some things that
you
know, even in today's day and time, they really, really shocked. You know what I believed to be about people, but it just made me stronger. And you know, I realized that okay, that's who that person is. It has nothing to do with who I am. So I guess being able to overcome those things on my own has encouraged me to want to help somebody if they want to talk to someone.
So, you know, before I move to the next segment, which is a little bit about you personally, if someone wants to reach out to you as a life coach, how do they do that?
I keep putting it on LinkedIn as well. So yeah, my profile does say that.
Okay.
There is a number, there is a email ID. They can.
So they should look for Chandni and Khanna on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can do that because you know, I put it very simply. If somebody does approach me, there is a set of questions that I ask them, and if they are willing to, you know, go ahead with that, then we take the next step of talking either on Skype or on the phone.
Okay. Wonderful. And I'm assuming that you can handle people anywhere in the country. Already.
Yes, it's because it's on Skype and it's on a call. It really depends on how they want to do it.
Okay, perfect. So moving on, you know, are there any people who have had an influence on your life or who have mentored you?
Not mentored as such, but, you know, ever since I was little, because I was the littlest in the family, I was the youngest. So I used to hang around my mom a lot because my two elder sisters were always studying and my brother was always playing. I was the only one in the house. So she had these little pearls of wisdom, which, you know, I find very relevant even today.
Correct.
A simple thing, like she used to say, you know, don't take it personally if somebody says something to you, because you need to see that a dustbin stinks from the inside. So if somebody's behaving a certain way, it's because of, you know, it's not nothing to do with you. So those things are so relevant even today. They're small, small things.
Correct.
But and back to my daughter again, I think she makes her a very good role model for her own age group, because she's shown the kind of resilience and the kind of strength, you know, and I learn from her every day something or the other. She takes a lot of things with a lot more ease than I do. Of course, there are some things which will pike her more, but, you know, at the same time, you can understand.
Sure.
Where she's coming from. So yeah, I mean, and there are a lot of people I meet. So I talk to so many people, clients and things. So yeah, I mean, even people I just have met on Facebook, some of them have been really nice. You get to learn a lot of their own lives and how they're struggling or, you know, what they've done right. Yeah, there have been some nice people too, no doubt about it.
Amazing. So, you know, Chandni, you had a trying life, and I think you're handling it very, very well. What would be three adjectives that describe you?
I think I pride myself in being strong, intelligent, and simple.
Okay.
I'm really very, there's nothing, you know, what you see is who I am. There's nothing inside different to what you see.
Okay. Do you have any superstitions?
No. I believe that whatever happens, happens for a reason.
Okay. So, again, you know, you virtually rebuilt your entire life after your husband passed away, and you know, you're an author, you're a writer, you're a coach. What is the secret of doing so many things and doing it so well?
Again, as I said, everybody must have at least one motivating factor, and that being my kid and her happiness. Because, as I said, she's had enough and more, I think, than for any kind of... because even after we lost him in March, in May she had some complication that happened. I don't know, it was because of stress or because of what. But the doctor said that she needed surgery immediately. Mm-hmm. And this was May, like 2 months down the line. So we had to go through that. The kid had her 18th birthday in hospital. Mm-hmm. She had massive stitches here. Mm-hmm. And when we came back home, those stitches got infected. So she was like running 104 degrees temperature. Mm-hmm. And it was a bad situation. So finally, when the doctor realized that I wasn't, you know, just saying something, I had almost lost her as well. That's what he told me. That, you know, and then she had another 4 days in hospital, and that was the time that the admissions for the colleges were going to happen. So they wanted to meet her, and so I requested them to, you know, take her interview over Skype if that was possible. So there were like six people on the other side. So with her massive bandages on her her abdomen here, she's tidied up her face and she sat there in front of the thing, and she gave the interview, and she managed to not only get in, she also managed to get a 100% scholarship.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
So, but my follow-up question to you would be, you know, in our entire discussion, you've spoken so much about your daughter. At some stage, she will grow up and get older, and
yeah, I'm ready for that.
What happens to you?
Well, as I said,
how do you re-motivate yourself?
Everything
then
happens for a reason. So I think there's going to be, like, I'm meeting some interesting people now. There are lots of things that I'm trying to work on. So, yeah, I mean, I don't believe that, you know, she's always going to be that one focal point. But at the end of it, I know that it's going to be me at some stage where I need to do things for myself. And I think I'll just cross that bridge when it happens.
Okay. So, Chandi, I ask this question to a lot of my guests, and it relates to failure.
Right.
Somehow, people believe that, or Indians particularly believe that we should not talk about failure to our children.
Right.
It's a taboo kind of subject, and yet, when people fail, we find children are not able to handle it. What are your thoughts on failure, and if you've had failures, what have been your learnings?
One fails and succeeds. I think the mistake that some people tend to make is that one big thing encompasses a failure or a success. That's not true. Mm. On a daily basis, you can succeed and you can fail on a lot of things.
Correct.
So if I believe that as a life coach, what I've learned is that if you've lost your temper more than you should have, that's major failure for the day, you know, because it brings down everybody else. A success, for example, is a well-written article for me where the client comes back and says, man, I don't need any changes here. And that's, you know, that's the essence of success for me. So, yeah, I mean, she's seen as a kid that, you know, there are times that I haven't done so well. There were times that I just had a single client that I was dealing with. So obviously, you know, the ups and downs, it's all, it depends on how you take it. The people around you are affected by your reactions to success or failure. And quintessentially, the term success traditionally means a lot of things to people, whether it's being well known or, you know, very rich and, you know, that. I don't see myself even close to that.
Okay.
But I believe there are little successes that one has on a daily basis. One should take that in your stride and compliment yourself once in a while and tell yourself, you know, that you have. As I said, I didn't think I'd be able to take a step. forward, because everybody was gone around me in a week's time. It was then that really hit, you know, when you realize that, okay, man, this is something you're going to have to do alone.
I agree. Do you have any regrets?
No, not really. No, I believe that small things like, you know, I should have studied a little more, but then, you know, was mom's going, was helping our dad in the home financially more important than you studying at that time? Then one weighs those answers and gets the, you know, understands whether it's a failure or success or whatever. And yeah, I mean, would have liked to have had more time with him, but you know, those are not things that I could have really
controlled. Yeah, they're out of control. Chani, thank you very much.
I wish
you lots of success.
Thank you.
In your writing and all your new ventures.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for the Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.